All right, excuse me, Acts chapter 21. Getting ahead of myself. Been talking about the Holy Spirit from Genesis all the way into the New Testament. The Holy Spirit was present in Genesis at the beginning of the creation. The Holy Spirit is present in you. If you've been born again, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, because Jesus said that when he had risen, he came into the room where they were. The disciples were holed up, locked in a room. And Jesus said, first thing he said was what? Peace be to you. Amen? Peace be to you. So right now, he's still saying the same thing. Peace be to you. Right now, no matter what your circumstance is, no matter what you were thinking of, right when you walked in the door, peace be to you right now. Amen. And it's not peace as, again, Jesus said, when he was ascending, he says, not my peace, not as the world gives. But it's the peace of God which passes all understanding. The peace of God which says everything is in my hand. And I love you. I'm not angry with you. I have paid your debt. And I love you. Jesus began to talk to the Jews in Matthew about the fact that your Father in heaven loves you. Now the Jews were like, God is like God. And we don't look at Him as a father. We look at Him as a judge. But no, God is no angry judge to you. He is your Redeemer. He is the one now who has come to live and dwell on the inside of you. His peace is what He desires for you to embrace and to walk in and to have and to never be again dismayed. Never be again overtaken by the circumstances of this world. Amen? Because you are born up from above. Amen. You have now been changed and transferred out of this world into the kingdom of His dear Son. You say, well, I seem to be still here. But now, your life has been transformed. Your life has been changed. And the most important thing that you can do is go back to the Word of God on a regular basis and to know, and to read it and to absorb it and to know that this Word of God is applicable to me every hour of every day, especially those times when issues come to your flesh and issues come to your mind that try to draw you away into living in this world, into living after this world, living in the flesh. When I say living in the flesh, what I'm talking about is when circumstances and trouble come, and where Jesus says, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world, you find yourself of bad cheer. You find yourself scared. You find yourself worried. You find yourself nervous. And those times and those hours, they're very real. They're very real because they come upon you in a moment, in a flash. But what I'm encouraging you to do is take this Word of God and let it be your anchor. Let it be your foundation. When Jesus was talking about the two houses that were built, one built on the sand and one built on the rock. He said the one house was washed away because it was built on sand and it had no foundation. But the one that was built upon the rock, the rains came, the floods came, and beat against that house. And that house stood because it was founded upon a rock.
Amen.
How many know today you are founded upon a rock? I am founded upon a rock. Now don't check your, how you feel about it. Don't check your, your feelers. Check right now with the Word of God. Check with the promise of God that I am founded upon a rock. I'm not talking about healings. I'm not talking about prosperities. What I'm talking to you is about you. That you, yourself, your name is founded upon a rock. David, me, I am founded upon a rock and you cannot move me. Nothing moves me. Oh, brother, don't say that. You ever been like that? You ever been one of those? You know, well, don't say that. You'll jinx it. I mean, that's what you mean when you say that, you know. It's almost like people who are, you know, and I'm a believer in a positive confession, but I'm not a believer in you watch everything you say such to the fact that you're scared to say anything. No, the Word of God is my foundation. Not whether I say something or I don't say it. Oh, brother, don't say that. No, glory to God. I'm at peace. I'm fully aware of all things that could come against me. Anything. Even a terrorist attack. Even somebody breaking in the back door. Oh, brother, don't say that. No. We live in a world where there's trouble. Jesus gave a bad confession. In the world, you have trouble. No. He just said this. But be of good cheer. What? I have overcome the world.
Amen.
And I'm in you, and you are seated together with me in heavenly places. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Did I say Acts 21?
Yes.
All right. Acts 21, let's look at the beginning of Acts 21. And it came to pass, this is Paul, that after we had launched, gotten from them, and they had been visiting with some folks, and we came with a straight course to Coos on the day following to Rhodes, and from there to Patara, and finding a ship sailing over to Phoenicia, we went aboard and set forth. Now when we had discovered Cyprus, we saw Cyprus out there, we left it on the left hand, so we sailed around it, and sailed into Syria, and landed at Tyre, for there the ship was to unload her burden. And finding disciples there, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit. Now the reason I'm bringing this up, of course, is how we speak about how the Spirit is speaking to you. Amen? So he said to Paul through the Spirit. I just want you to know that the Spirit speaks. Now we've talked about this before, but I want you to know it again. Is the Holy Spirit is speaking. He's speaking to Paul. In the fact that now he dwells and resides in you, he actually speaks to you.
Amen.
Amen. He does. Amen. He may speak to you to go talk to that brother on the side of the street corner. Amen. Or that brother in the restaurant, or that sister over here in the office. Wherever you might be, the Holy Spirit is in you and he speaks.
Amen.
And so he found disciples who were there and tarried there 7 days, and they said to Paul through the Spirit, it wasn't a bad confession, they said, through the Spirit, that he should not go up to Jerusalem. And when he had accomplished those days, so in other words, that was the word that came, the Spirit had made them aware that when he went up to Jerusalem, there was some trouble await. Now a lot of time, the Holy Spirit will let you know there's trouble coming, but he doesn't necessarily tell you to avoid it. Now these guys here said, hey, there's trouble in Jerusalem, don't go. Paul said, I'm going.
Yeah.
It's not that he didn't believe the Spirit. He said, I'm going because I know what God told me to do.
Wow.
And when he had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way. This is Luke telling the story. How many know Luke, the physician, wrote the book of Acts? Same guy that wrote the gospel. He traveled around with Paul and his party, his group, and as they went all about on their journeys. And they brought us all on our way. They accompanied us with wives and children till we were out of the city, and we kneeled down on the shore and prayed. And when we had taken our leave one of another, we got into the ship and returned home again. When we had finished our course from Tyre, they returned home. And when we had finished our course from Tyre, we came to Ptolemais and saluted the brethren and abode with them one day. And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came to Caesarea. And this is verse 8 of chapter 21. And we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven. Remember the seven that were anointed as to serve tables there in the book of Acts. This is one of the seven. He's now an evangelist. started out serving tables and began to be moved by the Holy Spirit into evangelism, to speak evangelistically all over the area. And remember, he also was the one who spoke to the Ethiopian eunuch. He said, "Go join yourself to that chariot." And he ran and caught up with that chariot. And then he expounded to him the book of Isaiah. And then after that had taken place, he baptized him. He said, "Here's water. Can I be baptized? If you believe with all your heart, you can be baptized." So he baptized him, and then Philip was immediately translated out to another place. Didn't tell us where, it just tells us he was immediately translated and moved to another place. Amen. The Holy Spirit just moved him.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, that's better than Southwest Airlines. Didn't even have any bags. All right. Okay, verse 9, "And the same man," that's Philip the evangelist, "had four daughters, which did prophesy." Prophesying daughters. Praise the Lord. Paul, you could have some daughters that could prophesy. Amen. They're powerful, isn't it? "The same man had four daughters which did prophesy. And we, as we tarried there many days, there came down to Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come to us, he took Paul's girdle," his part of his clothing, "and bound his own hands and feet and said, 'Thus says the Holy Ghost.'" Okay, this is very similar to what we heard just a few minutes ago. As the disciples down in Tyre said the same thing. And Paul had actually indicated the same thing back in Acts chapter 20. He went bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, chapter 20 says. Now look at 11, verse 11. "And when he was come to us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, 'Thus says the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owns this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles.' And when we heard these things, we and they of that place besought him not to go to Jerusalem." But then Paul answers, "Well, what do you mean to weep and to break my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, 'The will of the Lord be done.' And after those days, we took up our carriages and went to Jerusalem." So in other words, it wasn't just Paul that went on. In fact, all the rest of the crowd, all the rest of the crew went with him. Well, do we have to go to Jerusalem? Paul, I mean, think this through. He said, "Nope, I'm going." And of course, if you're tied to the man, to serve that man and that ministry, then you're going too. Paul didn't make anybody go. The Holy Spirit told him to go. Amen? Paul didn't bind anybody. Pastor shouldn't bind anybody. Amen? If you hear the Holy Spirit, you come along. Amen? It's not my job to bind you. It's not Pastor Jim's job to bind you. What it is, our job is to declare the Word of the Lord to you. And then for you to hear the Holy Spirit and to come along. Amen? Not under pressure, not under burden, but to follow the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, let's look over in Acts 28. Verse 17. This is after all of Paul's trip. And again, I'm kind of trying to stick to the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Paul is on his way to Jerusalem. And then in verse 20, chapter 21, as indicated. And then all of a sudden now, he's been in Jerusalem. And now he is appealed to Caesar and is has been brought to Rome. All right? He's declared himself a Roman citizen, which he is. And used that to make his way to Rome. Isn't that neat? How God will just set you in a position and give you certain qualifications that men will have to abide by those qualifications, and that'll put you in another place. Maybe that's your talent. Maybe that's you have an ability or a talent. Maybe you have a citizenship of some form. Maybe you have, God will use whatever it is you are in this world, and He will use that for His purpose to put you in a place where He wants you to be. Amen? So don't think, "I got to go do something else. I got to go fix up something else to serve the Lord." Amen? You say right now, "I'm ready to serve the Lord right now, right where I am." You know God knows where you live? You know? He knows where you sleep. He knows who your wife is. He knows who your husband is. He knows who your children are. He knows who your pastor is. God knows everything about where you are right at the moment, right now. And you can say, Lord, today will I serve you.
Hallelujah.
Amen?
Amen.
Don't think that you have to just fix up something new. Carlos, don't think you have to fix up something new to follow the Lord and to obey Him. He will start from right where you are right now. From tomorrow morning, you say, I'm going to serve the Lord with all my heart. I'm going to allow Him to use me. Lord, use me where you want me. And He will do that beginning right now. Amen? Now, don't check a bunch of things. I'd start writing a journal. I would start writing a journal of those things. After you make that commitment, start writing a journal after that point of what the Holy Spirit is doing in you. Amen? Hallelujah. Okay, let's see what God does. Let's see what He does. Okay, here. Verse 17 out of chapter 28. And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. The chief of the Jews together. That is, here he's hearing. Okay, let me back up a little bit. Verse 16. Let's just back up to verse 16, okay? And when we came to Rome, that'll give you a good start. When we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard. But Paul was allowed to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together, and when they were come together, he said to them, Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, that is the Jewish people, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who when they had examined me would have let me go because there was no cause of death in me. There was no charge worthy of death. Again, that was charged against me. But when the Jews spoke against it, I was constrained to appeal to Caesar. Not that I had anything to accuse my nation of. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you. Now here he is now in Rome. And he's called for the Jewish leaders in Rome. To see you and to speak with you, because for the hope of Israel I am bound in this chain. For the hope of Israel I am bound in this chain. So he's declaring, the reason that I'm here is because of the manifestation of the Messiah. The hope of Israel is the Messiah. What he's talking about is the hope of Israel is the Messiah. For there's something they understood. They understood exactly what he was talking about. And they said to him, now listen to this is really interesting. Because, I mean, you remember how fired up all those folks were over there in Jerusalem and the surrounding areas, Caesarea. Remember how fired up they were? I mean, you know, you read these last 20, from 21 to 27, I mean, he went through a ruckus over there. And those guys were upset. And he said, and they said to him, here's what the Jewish leaders in Rome were saying to him, we neither received letters out of Judea concerning you, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spoke any harm of you at all. They didn't even talk to the people in Rome. They knew he was being shipped off to Rome, and they didn't send any letters. They didn't send any complaints. They didn't send anything. Very interesting. We're just rid of him. Isn't it? Sometimes it's good to be rid of something, isn't it? Sometimes you just think it's good to be rid of him. They thought they was rid of him. They figured he'd probably die on the way to Rome. He's out of our hair and out of our no trouble anymore. And of course, you know, it was they might have heard that ship had a shipwreck. You remember the ship on the way to Rome had a shipwreck. They might have figured he was already gone, but he shows up and nobody had sent a letter to the Jews saying, "Watch out for this guy." Nobody said anything. Amen. It'd be good to show up somewhere and nobody's emailed them ahead of time that you were coming and you were in trouble. Amen. Watch out for Watch out for Evan. He is trouble. Nobody said anything. He just arrived in town, in jail. Then he called for the brethren, and the brethren said, "Now we had never heard of you. What are you in jail for?" So they said, "We neither received letters out of Judea concerning you, neither any of the brethren came and showed any or spoke any harm of you." 22 says, "But we desire to hear of you what you think as concerning this sect. We know that everywhere it is spoken against." So they had heard of Christians. They had heard of Christians and of Jesus. They just hadn't heard of Paul. Or had any bad things mentioned of it. So they'd heard about Jesus, about the hope of Israel, but they hadn't heard of Paul. So, "And when they had appointed him a day, there came to him many to him into his lodging, to whom he had expounded, and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them both Jesus, concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. Well spoke the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet to our fathers, saying, go to this people, and say, hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them." Now that's in Isaiah chapter 6, where the prophet Isaiah had spoken and declared that the people of Israel would not hear. Their eyes would be blinded. Their ears would be stopped. Because there was a day that the church, that the Word of God would not go any longer to the Jew, but would predominantly be given to the Gentiles. And this is Isaiah's prophecy. Is that that Israel, and even to this day, now there are individuals, but as a nation, Israel has rejected Jesus by their doctrine, by their own testimony. They have rejected Jesus Christ as their Messiah. They're looking for another one. But individuals, as we well know, many individual Jews have received the Holy Spirit and received Jesus Christ as their Messiah.
Amen.
We've been called completed Jews. That they've been coming up through the prophets and through the law and the prophets, and then have recognized and said that Jesus Christ is my Savior, is the Messiah. Yet as a nation, this was God's declaration to the nation of Israel. Today, the nation of Israel is not a nation that is following after God. It is a secular nation. They created it and built it as a secular nation. Even though they have the recognition of God in their midst, they do not worship God. Number one, remember what happened to the temple. When Jesus was crucified, what happened to the temple? What happened in the temple? You remember? The curtain was torn in two from the top to the bottom. An impossible task. A logistically impossible task. Unless it was done by God Himself. Because that curtain could not be torn by men. You know, it's not like tearing a phone book, not like John Jacobs tearing a phone book. I mean, that thing was feet thick of material. Even with a phone book, you got at least something to start with. You got a binding that's. You know, how do you tear a curtain? How do you get a hold of that when it's 5 feet thick? One man, that thing just went from the top to the bottom in that hour. It didn't take hours. It didn't take like somebody working on it. Well, let's work on this. Let's get a saw. No. From the top to the bottom, it was rent in twain. And the door and the way was open to enter into the Holy of Holies. Now, I'm sure they somehow rigged a way to sew it back up real quick. So somehow or another, it closed up, sewed it back up, and kept the thing going for another 70 years until Jerusalem was destroyed. But God was done. He was done with that. He was done with the sacrifices. The sacrifice had been made. Jesus is the final and the last sacrifice. He's the sacrifice for eternity, forever. Is that your sins have been forgiven from the very beginning to the very end. Even the ones you haven't committed yet. He has made provision for you. Total forgiveness. Total forgiveness for you. So you live in praise. And you live in thanksgiving. And you live daily in rest. And in peace.
Amen.
Peace be to you.
Yep.
Now verse 28 of chapter 28. It says, be it therefore, talking to the Jews that he was talking to there in Rome. So he spoke to them that scripture. Well said the Holy Ghost when he said this, you will not hear and you will not see. Be it known therefore to you that the salvation of God is sent to the Gentiles, which is what also Isaiah prophesied, and that they will hear it. And when he said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves, great disputes. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in to him, preaching the gospel of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. The end. Doesn't sound like the end, does it? He has preached in his own hired house for 2 years. Doesn't say, well, they're dragging me off to chop my head off. Goodbye. Now he knew it because later on he talked in the epistles about the fact that he had finished his course. But here when Luke finished the book of Acts, he didn't bring any of that up. Because the Holy Spirit left that book unfinished. Amen? That book's unfinished. Even today. It's got guys in it like, Polycarp. You know, John, what kind of a name is that, Polycarp? Don't you wish your mom named you Polycarp? John's disciple. Amen? Disciple of John. Then disciple after disciple. And then you would get religious... Then you would get religious doctrines and denominationalism, but 1 or 2 or 3, you would have a remnant who held on to not some doctrinal point of contention, but the gospel of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, who has set you free, who has loved you, who has not put you under a burden. How many know you're not under a burden? You're not under a burden to perform. Is the Holy Spirit has come to dwell on the inside of you, to live on the inside of you, to transform you as you worship Him, as you come into His presence. That is His heart. His heart for you is to have relationship with you and that you would have relationship with one another. Go back and read John chapter 17. In fact, let's go back over there right now. John 17.
Hallelujah.
One of the most important passages in Scripture regarding the Holy Spirit, and we did go over that, is John 13 through 17, where Jesus is now saying to His disciples, I'm going to go away. I'm going to go away. But I'm going to send you another Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who when He has come, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of Himself, but He will take of mine and He will show it to you. So in not having Jesus in a man, as in the body of a man, to fellowship with and walk with and know personally as a mentor and as one who would walk with you as a man, We have the Holy Spirit who has come to dwell in us and who has come to dwell in every one of us individually and to be with you forever. He is with you and shall be in you. Let's read this. Chapter 17. That last verse of last verse of 16 says, "These things have I spoken to you that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer." Cheer up! "I have overcome the world." In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome that world. These words spoke Jesus, and he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. As you have given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you gave me to do. And now, O Father, glorify you me with your own self, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested or showed your name to the men which you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. And now they have known all things whatsoever you have given me are of you." Speaking to the Father, Jesus speaking to the Father. "For I have given to them the words which you gave to me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came out from you, and they have believed that you did send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which you have given me, for they are yours. All are mine, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your own name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those that you gave me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture may be fulfilled. And now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, while I'm here, that they might have my joy in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. They are not of the world, even as I, in the same way that I am not of the world. I pray not that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. Sanctify them through your word," he's saying. "As you have sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they may also be sanctified through the truth." Now listen to this. "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." As you. So all of this prayer is not only for those guys, but it's all this prayer. Go back and read it again with your name in there. It's you. This is you. Verse 21, "that they may all be one." I'm going to read 20 again and join it. Ready? "Neither pray I for these alone, but all for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom you have given to me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you. And these have known that you have sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. This is Jesus' prayer for you. This is Jesus' prayer for you. Go read it again. Put your name in there. This is Jesus' prayer for you. Interesting thing also, it is a prayer, but it is also combined with teaching. He is instructing them on the way in which we're going to relate to one another and the way in which we relate to the Father. We are one in them. We are one with another. We've been talking about Ephesians this past week and talking about how we are endeavoring to keep the bond, keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We've discussed the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, saying there immediately following that there is one Spirit, there is one Lord, and there is one Father. So all the Spirit, the Lord Jesus, and the Father, and then the body. This is us. Again, coming from the very beginning, as I'm closing this series on the Holy Spirit, is that the Spirit of the Lord was over the face of the deep. When he completed the creation, began and completed the creation. The Spirit of the Lord is among us. He's here at the beginning. He's here now. He's here at the end when the book of Revelation will be completed. And we will dwell forever in the New Jerusalem, in the city of God. But to have to understand that church, as the world has known it, is not about people coming together and helping each other meet each other's needs. That's the very surface. And that's admirable and that's wonderful. But it's the very surface. And it does not touch the relationship that we have with Christ Jesus. And what God is desiring for us to know is to have that, is not just to do good. Not just to be a good neighbor. That's the fruit. That's the result. And we've taught our children, and that's wonderful and nifty and admirable. And it keeps people from killing each other, and that's great. But what we have left out is the relationship, the personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. Now God has kept it. But we've lost so much. And God knew. He knew. But what is our job to do is to, when we see that, is to preach it. And to teach it. And to declare it. Is that there is a relationship that you can have with your Heavenly Father that causes you to walk in peace. So many people, they just do the right thing, do the good thing, but they live their lives in desperation. They live their lives in pain. They're doing what they're doing so that God will be pleased in their doctrine and teaching. This is not what pleases God, even though it's wonderful for your neighbor. That's not pleasing. That's not what is pleasing God. What's pleasing God is that you fellowship with Him and you love Him and you follow after Him and you have His heart and His joy in you, and you are not in despair and not in having your heart ripped out by certain circumstances and situations. But in fact, praising Him and thanking Him even in the midst of trouble, because you know that your life is safe. Now, even though there is trouble, and I'm talking about in families, but yet even so, to know that you are held in His hand and nothing can hurt you, nothing, and He will never leave you nor forsake you. You remember over in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16, it says, from now on we know no man after the flesh. Now one thing about that, and I'll close with this, is that one thing about that is from henceforth we know no man, we consider no person after the flesh. But we look upon them as one who is either a brother or sister in the Lord with whom we have fellowship daily, and we're one in the body, or perhaps if there is a difficulty in that relationship, whether it's a marriage or whether it's children, whether it's co-workers, whether whoever it might be, whether it's another nation, is we look after no man after the flesh. See, so many times we just find it easy to get back into the flesh and just make judgments and after the flesh and to repay after the flesh. Somebody has done me wrong. All of a sudden, we just revert back to flesh. But He says, from henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. No matter whether you're 10 or 12 or 20, 50, 70 or 80. Henceforth, we don't regard anyone after the flesh. We only regard them with respect to the Scripture. Doesn't matter who you are. And I'll fail. And some days you'll say something and I'll respond to it, but I want to repent. Yeah. Because I don't want to know you after the flesh. Because I'll respond after the flesh. I don't want to know you after the flesh because I know that that's just going to cause strife. Amen? But I want to know you after the Spirit because that's where the love of God comes to me and the love of God comes to you. Is if I know you after the Spirit. Henceforth knowing no man after the flesh. We even once knew Jesus after the flesh, he says. Now Paul didn't actually. But we once knew Jesus after the flesh. Oh, Jesus, let's just walk together down the road, and it's so good to have Jesus with us, isn't it? Amen. We're just glad to have Jesus with us. Well, we don't know him like that anymore. But you know what? That's not what he's after. He's not after that. He's not after you knowing him like a good buddy and with his hand in hand going down the road. He is after you knowing him in such a way that is not of the flesh. That's the only thing we know. We know to know somebody, a good friend, after the flesh, that's desirable. But his relationship with us is so much more. And he wants us to begin to understand it and to walk with him and to walk in it. So don't look to know him after the flesh. Well, if only Jesus were here. No, that's not what you need. If only Pastor Jim were here. No, you don't need that. What you need is what Jesus promised, which was the Holy Spirit is going to come and he's going to dwell with you and he shall be in you, and he's what Jesus promised here in 17. I want you to go back and read chapters 13 through 17 in John. And just meditate on those. Meditate on his references to how things are going to change when I go away. And what he's going to begin to do in you through the Holy Spirit. And this whole series we've done on the Holy Spirit from the very beginning to the very end, or at least to the point at which the active historical declarations of of the stories. Now, of course, you know, we have the Holy Spirit talked about in the epistles, and I did not go over the epistles because the epistles are, again, are talking to you about doctrine and about how to live. But what I was desiring to do through this whole thing is to observe the Holy Spirit moving, say from a third person, from out here, just to observe the Holy Spirit operating in the Scripture up to the point of the book of Acts. Amen? That's powerful. It's very powerful. Because He wants to live in you. He moved throughout the Old Testament. He moves throughout the New Testament. And He moves right now. He's moving in you. He's walking in you. You are a woman of God. You're a man of God. And He is manifesting Himself in you. Don't say He's not. Are you a believer? You're a believer? You've got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. He breathed on them. And He said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost."
Right.
So they were indwelt. And then He spent 40 days teaching them about the kingdom of God. And then He ascended. But when He ascended, He said, "Don't go anywhere." He said, "Don't move until you be endued with power from on high." And they stayed in Jerusalem and they prayed. And they were all together in one accord on the day of Pentecost. And the Holy Spirit came and filled all of them. And they went out onto the street. And they began to declare the Word of God. They began to worship God in another tongue. And as they spilled out onto the street, those who were out in the street heard them speaking the wonderful works of God, but each one of them heard them speak in his own tongue. So from that moment, the gospel was being preached throughout all the world, right from that very hour. Mildred, you won't believe what I saw down in Jerusalem. And it was carried off to Phrygia, carried off to other places, just in it as a testimony. Amen. If you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, if you want to be born again, you haven't been born again, I'd be happy to pray with you this morning. Anyone next to you would be happy to pray. Say, "You born again? Will you pray with me? I want to be born again today. I want the Holy Spirit to come and live on me, in the inside of me. I want God to love me the way you say He loves you." How many know you're the beloved of God? I mean, absolutely. You're His favorite. How many are God's favorite? I am. I know I am. I don't know about you, but I know I am. I know I am. Amen? And you are too. That's why I had him live. That's why I had him live on the inside of you, so he can say that to you. "Hey, Mark, you're my favorite." And Mark should say, "I heard God say I was His favorite." And you'd be right. Amen? Let's all stand. Ooh, hallelujah, hallelujah.